We're going to pick up in verse 15. And you know, this happens to me pretty much every semester. I set a goal of how many people I want to share with, and you know, Bible studies, and what my semester is going to look like. And then, you know, a couple weeks in, I start to really lose the grandeur of the mission.
Yeah.
And it starts to lose its kind of just, man, just this epic majesty that it has. And it starts to come out, I got to text this guy back. We got to figure out a place to meet. Man, and you can just start to lose your gratitude. But we need to remember what this is all about. So right here, Paul's talking with King Agrippa, and the Apostle Paul is telling him his story. He's telling him his conversion story and what God called him to. And we'll pick up in verse 15. It says, "Then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' the Lord replied. 'Now get up, stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." That's the mission. And there's a couple things that we can get from this dialogue that Paul has with King Agrippa here. One of them is that the mission is described, the core of it is described. And he says what it is we're literally taking people from under the power of the devil in the spiritual realms, being a slave to their sin. And by us just simply meeting them and introducing them to the scriptures, they're going from the power of the devil to now living by the power of God. Like, what a transformation. What a transformation. And literally helping someone go from being in one place in the spiritual realms without any freedom, without any hope, and then by us being God using us, transferring them into God's eternal kingdom and being in Christ. Who are we to do that? Or to be any part of that plan? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that God wants to use us sinners, to do that? And that is a call. That is quite a call. And we have the honor and the task of changing someone's eternal destiny. You know, literally, we're Christ ambassadors. We're reconnecting people back to their God. And that God can use you to influence someone's eternity.
Wow. Yeah.
Check you out. You got a pretty cool life. If you're a disciple there, God is trying to use you to change someone's eternity. Not just their life, not just their family, but everything.
Right.
That's incredible. That's an amazing mission. You know, the result of the mission is eternal, literally saving someone's soul. Guys, we're talking about souls. And I think, you know, there's a lot of great missions that someone could have in life, right? Being a doctor, that's a great mission to be on, to help keep people healthy, to enjoy life, right? Being a teacher, being a professor, teaching people about the world, right? Come on,
Darryl.
That's a noble mission to have, right? Yeah. And a purpose. You know, being a fireman, literally risking your life, right? To go and save somebody. These are all really noble causes. You know, nonprofits, CEOs of big companies that donate a ton of money. These are some great missions, but here's the deal, guys. All of those are non-eternal. All of those are about the here and right here and now.
Right. Yeah.
But the mission is the only thing that you can do and let God use you on that will change someone's eternity.
Right.
And I just want you guys to, you know, we're focusing right now on being amazed by the mission. That's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I just want you guys to kind of think about this thought of when Jesus comes back, right? Because Jesus is coming back. And I want you to think about this thought of you're up there and you see the lion and you see Jesus Christ, and some people are going through the gates and rejoicing into this bright light, and you see some people being thrown down literally into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, and you're just hoping that you're right with God.
Yeah.
And you get there and you get to Jesus and he says, man, well done, good and faithful servant. And you walk in and Jesus is holding your hand and you're just walking into eternity. And as you're walking into eternity, you see that guy or girl you met on campus dancing with Jesus, rejoicing with Jesus. Just no pain, no tears. If any tears, they're just tears of wonder, tears of joy.
Right.
And in that moment, you're like, praise God that I embraced that awkward moment on campus, because now this person is dancing with Jesus in heaven.
Right. Man.
That was worth it.
Right.
That's amazing. But there's a flip side of that. You see that other guy in your class that you were too scared to talk to them about Jesus.
Wow.
And you see them thrown down into that lake. And you hear their cry. Guys, we have a job to do. And it requires every part of us. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to be there on that day seeing my family members, you know, my friends in the line saying, you knew this the whole time? You knew me for 20 years and you never told me that you know how to get saved. Mark, if I knew that, I would have showed up at your door. I would have asked you, how do I get right with God? I'm a mess, I'm suffering. I do not want to be that guy. Life is too short to lose those opportunities, right?
Yeah.
Like the mission is so amazing that, man, we're literally just walking people into heaven to be with Jesus.
Right.
It's too amazing that we miss out on those opportunities. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And so my question to you is, if that's how amazing the mission is, that it is so eternal, has that eternal impact, you know, why do we spend the majority of our weeks on non-eternal things?
Right.
Wow.
If that's our purpose, if that's our mission, then why do we consume so much of our time with things of this world?
Yeah.
And just get sucked in. Guys, I'm serious about this.
Yeah.
I'm serious. This mission demands, first of all, our amazement, but also our time.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, do you make time in your week for the mission? Scheduling times to go and share, to meet open people, sharing faith? Do you set up Bible studies? You know, when you sat down at that discipleship study, you said, I'm going to go and make disciples.
That's right.
This is what I want to do. And the same thing that Paul had with Jesus, Jesus said, I've appointed you a servant. In the same way, guys, if you're a disciple, God has appointed you a servant. God himself has appointed you a servant, and we just can't forget that, man, that is a blessing to be appointed a servant. And we can't forget that, man, he's rescued us. We were that person deserving wrath, eternal punishment. And because someone got in the Bible with you, your eternity has been changed. You've been saved. You've been forgiven of all your sin. But man, we got to live a life worthy of the calling we've received. Amen.
Yeah, right.
Guys, we're fishers of men. We're fishers of men. That's the first thing we see in the gospel, is Jesus calls the disciples. Amen.
Amen.
You know, God took thousands of years patient with God's people and the Israelites, knitting together this plan of salvation, that one day sinners like us could be used to do such a task.
Right.
I mean, literally, he took thousands of years for us to get to this point, to be here as a church. He took the time. How much time do you take in your week fulfilling that plan?
Wow.
Guys, we're it. There is no, in case you didn't know, There is no plan B coming over the horizon. You're it. This is it. We are the New Jersey Campus Ministry.
Yes, sir.
And God has entrusted us at these schools, and He's chosen you. He's forgiven you, and He's called you. So the first step is we got to be amazed at this mission.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, it's incredible. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
But not only did God want to give us this mission, His plan wasn't just to give us this mission, but His plan was for us to be engaged in this mission. That's my second point. Engaged in the mission.
Come on, Mark. Good stuff.
You guys with me?
Come on, Mark.
Just keeping it real this morning. Amen. You know, you might hear that second point, engaged in the mission, and hear, oh boy, here comes the practicals. And yes, we're going to get to some practicals for sure. You know, biblically, being engaged in a mission, it's just a way of saying thank you to God. It's like, God, thank you. I'm going to go tell people about this, about what you've done in my life. It's worship. It's glorifying God by the way we live our lives, not just on Wednesdays and Fridays and Sundays, but every day. Yeah. It's saying thank you. Turn over to John 15.
Come on, Mark.
It's one of my favorite passages. Even though I say that every time I preach, it is one of my favorite passages.
It's great stuff, man.
John 15, we're going to pick up in verse 1. Raise your hand if you know this scripture.
It's a big book. It takes some practice.
You've read it before, or if you even like it, maybe.
I spent a lot of time using the...
You know, I want to look at the scripture maybe in a different way than we usually do, or at least for me. So let's read it here. You know, Jesus is talking to His disciples. This is leading up to His last days on earth. He says, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and my words, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do
nothing.
If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, in this passage, we see Jesus talking to His disciples about remaining in the vine, right?
Right.
And, you know, we're all very familiar with this passage. And for most of my life, I looked at this passage, and you know what I got from it? 9 times out of 10, this is what I got from it. Okay, I need to remain in the vine. I need to read my Bible more. I need to pray more. I need to think about Jesus more. And maybe when I do that, I'll be fruitful. And amen, we need to do those things, because that is also what God's called us to. Amen?
Right.
Being plugged into Him. But guys, this passage is talking about bearing fruit. This passage is talking about being effective in laying down your life for people.
Right.
You know, it's really talking about being fruitful and being engaged in the mission and walking in the steps of Jesus day by day. And you know, there's one part that I really want to focus on here. It says, this is to my, what? My Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Guys, we are glorifying God when we are fruitful. Amen. We glorify God when we were singing last night. You know what's just as glorifying is when you go out and you save a soul. Honestly, probably even more glorifying. God is fired up about that. And, you know, we show the world that we are of Christ when we bear fruit. Because you know why? Jesus had a fruitful life. Jesus lived a fruitful life. He loved people with His everything. You know, Isaiah 53 talks about Him. He was the suffering servant. And because He was a servant, because He laid down His lives for people, guess what? He was fruitful.
Wow.
And He changed the course. course of mankind. But if he did not do that, and if he did not remain in the Father and lay down his life, do you think Jesus would have been fruitful?
No.
No. So in the same way, with this passage, it's not just talking about, hey, read your Bible. It's saying, like Jesus, love people.
Right.
Love one another. Lay down your life. And when you remain in that vine, which is Jesus in his standard, when you remain in him and how he lived, and you do the same and you love people, that you'll be fruitful too. And doesn't that just make sense?
Right.
When you think about the people that you've helped become Christians, that took some work. That took laying down your life. That took a lot of time in the Word. That took a lot of prayer and a lot of love. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? So in the same way, we can't make any other standard to bear fruit. Guys, the standard is laying down our lives, right?
Yeah.
And so how do we bear fruit? You know, verse 12 says, love each other as I have loved you. That's how we bear fruit. And I love how he kind of ends out this passage. You know, in verse 16, Jesus says, you did not choose me. And God is saying this to you too. He said, but I chose you and appointed you so that what? So that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Not a nice idea. This is my command. Love each other. So I just want to encourage you guys with that. That man, before we get into these practicals here, the goal is that we're going to imitate Jesus in that way, that we would lay down our lives. Amen?
Right.
And that we would be the type of people that would not have a standard of what's my discipler doing or whatever, but what did Jesus do? How did Jesus bear fruit? And let me do the same. And so, I just want to end with some practicals here. And really just by saying, you know, it's really two ways you can go here. Either get engaged in the mission and God will use you, or don't get engaged and you'll never see fruit. Now, there's a time in my life, probably the first like 3-4 years of my Christianity, I made one disciple. I really don't think that was glorifying to God. And so until I engaged myself in the mission, I did not see fruit in my life.
Yeah.
I needed people to help me with that, to have an outward focus. But God wants all of us to be engaged in the mission. So I do want to give you guys some practicals here. Because do you guys want to be fruitful?
Yes.
Do you guys want to be a fruitful campus ministry?
Yeah.
So these are some things we gotta have on straight. Number one practical, pray for greater faith. Pray that God will lead you to really believe that there are open people on your campus. And when you really believe that, that's huge because your actions will match your faith.
Mm-hmm.
What you do every week will match where your faith level is at. You know, so if you believe that there's 10 new brothers on your campus, odds are you're going to share as if there are 10 new brothers on your campus.
Right.
And odds are that will happen. Number two, share your faith daily. Now, if we want to multiply, we got to share like
wild
men and wild women.
Come on, man.
You know, if we're going to find worthy people, we got to go out, got to open every door.
That's right.
Because they're out there. You got to embrace rejection. You might meet 100 unopened people and then meet the next leader of a church. But that 100 open people was worth it. Amen? And just that, man, any one of us can do that. Any one of us can just open our mouths. You know, I told this to the North Family Group at our kickoff. I'm like, guys, don't worry about how you share your faith. You can go up to somebody with an invite card and just say, poop. And if God is trying to reconcile them, he's going
to
work through that in some way. God's going
to
work through it. You don't need to have the perfect sentence. But any one of us, all of us, the mission's for all of us. Amen. Number three, learn how to set up Bible studies on your own.
Yeah.
So learn how to meet somebody, to follow up, to set up a study, and get another disciple involved that can help you learn how to study with them. And I want to encourage you guys, don't just take the passenger seat in the Bible studies. Don't just wait till someone comes to you and say, hey, I need you for a study. Go and meet somebody. Come to someone and say, hey, I found a guy. Let's study the Bible with him.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Number four. And last one. There's like Jesus. Maybe out here. Number four, learn the Bible studies.
All right, Mark.
Know the scriptures. And let me just take the pressure off you guys here. You cannot convert somebody.
Mm.
You can't.
Thank you, God.
That's God's job.
Mm.
That's the scripture's job. That's the Holy Spirit's job.
Yeah.
But God does use you to do that.
Right.
The Bible converts people's hearts.
Right.
The Holy Spirit, John 16, Jesus says, when I send you this gift, the paraclete, like this warrior sticking up for you in life, that Spirit is going to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. So guys, the pressure's off. We just got to know our Bibles.
Yeah.
We just got to know how to let the Spirit convict people through the scriptures and just watch people be changed. Amen?
Amen.
You know, trying to figure out how to share this story. This is going to sound really random, but you know, Kyrie, we're roommates, and Charles and Sam, and we miss Matt, but hey, it's all good. you know, Kyrie, let me tell you what, this guy knows how to set up Bible studies. But what he does know how is how to cook food.
Hey, man.
Oh, snap.
Oh, he don't say.
Got him.
There's a lot of things that we are inadequate in.
Yes.
You might not consider yourself, you know, a good student or a good singer. Or maybe even just, I don't know, a good friend sometimes. Maybe you see yourself as just kind of selfish. Maybe you're bad at math like me, and you got inadequacies, you know? Kyrie the other day, I love you, bro. Kyrie the other day, we were sitting in the living room, me and Charles, and just like, do you smell that smoke? And I'm like, they must be smoking downstairs because the guys downstairs smoke a lot, but it wasn't them this time.
Oh.
And so Kyrie comes in and he was sitting down with us. And, yeah, I smell it too. And he's like, oh, it's cool. It's probably just my chicken nuggets I was microwaving.
Oh, Kyrie.
I'm literally like, oh, okay. All right, that's great.
Burn cheese.
Bro.
And then he walks out the room into the hallway. And he goes, he does his scream like, oh! And smoke is everywhere. We were on fire drill, like there's simulation. And the microwave just,
chicken nuggets.
The chicken nuggets are black slime on this plate. Like, we're like, bro, how long you put it in? He's like, I don't know, 2 minutes. Like, what are you doing that for?
That's a long
like,
time
in
the
microwave. Microwave. Black slime.
He did not eat them.
No,
he
they're not. No,
it's like they ended up being bad chicken nuggets anyway. So.
Dude, it was the chicken nuggets, man. It wasn't
you. You know, I just say that to say, Kyrie does know how to make food. So, you know what he does know how to do? Is he knows how to go out and make a disciple.
Mm, come on, bro.
So you might be bad at a lot of things, but what I'm trying to tell you is if you're a disciple of Jesus, I don't care how old you are spiritually, I don't care if you're an intern or whatever, you were made to do this.
Right.
You were made to go and bear fruit. Literally, God handcrafted a plan so that anybody could go and do this.
Right.
I don't care who you are. That's God's vision for you. Amen?
Amen.
Don't compare yourself to other people. Just go and take the next step in what it means to be fruitful. It's not rocket science. Go out and just share. You know, for me personally, when I was a freshman, Matt was a sophomore, I got to campus, and man, I was really nervous. First time on a college campus, I didn't know how to share my faith. I didn't know how to be effective. But guys, I just learned, and I made a ton of mistakes, like a ton of mistakes. But you know, that's just the only way to do it. You gotta go, you gotta mess up a discipleship study, and then have someone tell you, hey, you really jacked that up. Actually, this is what it means to be a disciple. I don't know, maybe you'll do that. And you gotta learn. And guess what? A couple years down the road, you'll be fruitful.
Amen.
But that was me. I just had to say, I don't know what I'm doing. Matt, Rob, help me. Charles, help me. I just want to be used by God. Amen?
Yeah, you do.
You know, I totally believe we all want people to become Christians, right? Do you guys want people to become Christians?
Yeah.
This is what we're here for, you know, but I just want to close out with this last thought here. And as I thought about reasons why we might not be fruitful or engaged in the mission, these were some reasons that as I was just kind of praying about it, some reasons that I thought of why you might not be seeing God use you to bear fruit. And I say these really just to just encourage you and to think about, man, what is it that Satan is blocking me with that's stopping me from being fruitful? And so I just want to share, I just came up with four, and they're all kind of broad, but just think about yourself as you hear these, and we'll close out here. But the first reason I could think of, if you're not engaged in the mission, is you're not connected to the gospel.
Yeah.
It's gotten old for you. The fact that you're saved and you're even a Christian, that you've been forgiven, made holy and blameless in His sight. So if you think you're there, my encouragement to you is reconnect with the gospel. That you, man, you deserve wrath. You deserve to be in that fire lake of burning sulfur. And God, not you, not because maybe you grew up in the church, but God saved you by His grace.
Right. Come on.
Number two, another reason why you might not be engaged in the mission is you're just distracted. Distracted by life and things that choke out the mission. School, your job, money, time, a relationship, comparing yourself to others, thinking about the future too much. I have fallen into all of those categories and still can. And my encouragement to you is go and seek first the kingdom.
Amen.
Throw all those things away and ask yourself, what would it look like for me to wake up tomorrow and have the mission be my number one priority?
Amen.
Not this relationship, not this job, not getting worried about life, but the mission. Number three, you care. You really do. You care about the mission. You care about souls being saved. But you really just don't know how to go and study with somebody, or to set up the study, or to share effectively, or maybe you just don't know where to start. And I think for a lot of us that can be what it is. You know, I believe God really is smiling on us as a ministry that is engaged in the mission. Let me just say that. I really do believe that. Guys, we got a baptism 2 days ago.
Right.
Woo! Come on, Janae.
Right, we're growing. But we all need to ask that question of, do I know how to do this thing? And if you feel like, hey, I just don't know where to start, ask a question. Ask for help. And last one, the reason why you might not be engaged in the mission is you're just not stepping out on faith, out of your comfort zone to meet people. And you just haven't let God build your faith, but are being selfish. And you're relying on yourself. And so my encouragement to you, if you're just not seeing yourself being bold, it's step out on faith. Let the scriptures lead you to be a faithful person, to trust God and that He'll use you. Amen.
Amen.
And listen, I don't know where you're at today. I don't know your heart, but God does. Amen.
Amen.
And He wants to use you. And He wants to increase your faith and use you to change someone's eternity. Everyone on our campus is going to meet God, guys.
Right.
Whether they believe it or not, and it's our job and it's our honor to get them ready to meet God. To get them ready to meet Jesus. It's going to happen, guys. We got to be thinking about that.
Yeah.
We are all going to meet God. And He wants all men to be saved. And because that's His wish, that's why He sent His Son, to get battered and bruised and murdered and spit on. And He took all the wrath that you deserved. Not so that you could just live a life of mediocre Christianity, but that you could be a world changer. That you could follow in His steps. He wants everyone to be saved.
Yeah.
God's children are on your campus. They might look like they're fine, but they're not, guys.
Right.
I want to close out reading Matthew 28.
Oh, man.
And I want us to kind of leave, almost as if we're a mission team, being sent back to northern New Jersey.
Come on, bro.
You guys heard the scripture before, Matthew 28, 18 to 20.
Therefore.
We just found this new chapter in Matthew.
Whoa. One service is already on.
So let's read this here, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. You guys with me?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's okay, you're so close.
I know I've been sharing a lot, but hey, man, I think we got to read this.
27.
Verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, what? All authority in on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and what? Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Guys, God is with you. You're not alone on this mission. That power that we heard about last night, about God and his vastness of the universe, that Yahweh is living in you as a disciple. You're not alone. On campus, you can walk with that kind of swagger. Like, I have God living in me right now, the Holy Spirit. And if you believe that, man, we are gonna grow. And just to give some like quick math, if everyone here teamed up with another disciple and said, let's go make a Christian this semester as a duo, our ministry would be 3 away from 100 people.
Wow.
That's not even faithful, guys. That's just saying me and Carlos, we're gonna walk until we meet somebody on campus for months. We're gonna study with that one person over 4 months of time and make a disciple. We're gonna make way more disciples than that. But if everyone paired up and did that, we're almost at 100 people in our ministry.
Wow.
Guys, you just think about what God could do with us. We gotta start having some super big vision. Because God, as we learned last night, is a big God. Amen.
Yeah. Come on, Mike.
I just wanna close out by encouraging you guys to get amazed. If you're not amazed in the mission, take some time to get amazed, please.
Yeah.
And get engaged, amen.
Yeah.
Take time to get engaged. You gotta fight, guys. We gotta fight to be amazed, and we gotta fight to be engaged. You're not gonna wake up in the morning feeling engaged. And amen, if you do, that's great, but I don't.
Yeah.
I feel tired. Yeah. I don't wanna share. But guys, we gotta fight to be amazed and engaged in the mission, and when we do that, guess what? We will bear fruit.
Yeah.
And we will give glory to God, amen?
Amen. Amen.
That's all I got for you guys.
Come on!
Woo!
Yeah, Matt's gonna come up.